We have a very special guest speaker tonight, all the way from a recent trip to Maine, and Chris Whitney is going to come and share with us what the Lord's laid on his heart. He was supposed to preach in July, and we did a swap out, so he's going to take the service tonight. We appreciate so much. He's been a blessing, especially in the school chapel programs. I have a number of students that come to me and say how much they appreciate his preaching. He pretends like he's nervous. But he'll do well.
Yes, 3 years ago, Pastor Todd asked me if I'd be willing to speak in chapel. I told him I was willing, and the schedule came out, and lo and behold, I wasn't on it. So I guess he was trying to spare y'all, or just being polite or something. But anyway, well, actually, I told him I'd let him know when I was ready. So 3 years later, here we are, and I'm finally ready. and to top it all off, Pastor Watt decides he's going to preach my message on Wednesday. But I figured that would be okay because he talks so fast you can only get half of what he says. So it's going to be all right. But anyway, he did touch on the passage of Scripture that I had been studying for quite a while. And it's in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 15. And I'm going to attempt to read that, Mr. Watt. He always teases me about my lack of ability in the reading area. Chapter 6, and we'll read 1 through 15. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in a land whither thou goest to possess, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I have commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and this is my main verse here, very well-known verse, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into a land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be filled, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and shall serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And this passage here can actually preach itself. I think there's not a man or a woman here today that can read this passage and can honestly say that it's not convicting or challenging to them. I'd like to look at the main verse. This verse we used in my week of camp, and Aunt Carolyn was one of our guest speakers, and she also used this memory verse, which is very good. And it says in verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The meaning of the word love is so misunderstood today. Even when you look in the dictionary, you have to look all the way down to the bottom to find the actual true definition of love. And I think of the definitions that young people think, it's all their feelings. Well, it's a feeling that I have toward this other individual. And it's a feeling of love or a physical attraction, a physical relationship. And they don't actually understand the full meaning of love. And I don't think any of us really can grasp the full and true meaning of what God uses as love and His love toward us. When I looked in the dictionary, even the Webster's dictionary, all the way down to the, near the bottom is where it starts talking about the true definition of love. Love is not a feeling. It's not a physical love for someone. The true meaning is much deeper. The way down the page, you'll find it's an unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. The fatherly concern for humankind and the brotherly concern for others and the person's admiration for God. I do not think, like I said, that we fully understand and grasp what God means by love and His love for us. When you think of Him coming to the earth, leaving heaven to come to earth for me and you and all the people of all mankind who hated Him and who mocked Him and who betrayed Him and put Him on the cross. And that is probably the easiest part of it. The hardest part is when He bore all of our sins on the cross and the Father had to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That shows to me what the true meaning of love really is, which is far different than what, you know, I love my wife. Well, do I really love my wife? What happens when I get home at night? How do I show my love for my wife? I sit down in my easy chair while she waits on us, right? That's what probably a lot of us men do in this day and age. Is that not hitting on the subject there? But I think of the Lord's love for us, and to me, there's not one person here, or at least I know I can't, that says that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. When you think of might, it takes effort. And have I spent all of my time putting the effort that I need to into loving the Lord my God? Let's look at a couple verses here. Let's look at verse 7 in this passage. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk about them when thou sittest in thine house. I know what happens when I go home and I sit in my house. And the person who ever said that a man can't do two things at once didn't know what they were talking about. Because I can do three. Okay? This hand can grab the recline lever. This hand can grab the remote. And I can tune out everything my wife says all at the same time. So, but does this fit the description of teaching them diligently to my children? The Bible says here in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Well, when we were little, when my kids were little, I should say, I can remember having the My Story book from Aunt Carolyn in the Children's Bible Club. There's hundreds of them today all over Nigeria, from what I gather. But we used to read, you know, a story from that with our children each night, or we tried to each night, and we'd read a passage of that from that book, and we'd pray and sing our songs and whatnot. But then kind of life happens, and the children get a little bit bigger, and they start going into sports, and they start having homework till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night because they can't concentrate in school. And you know, all those little things start crowding in, and the next thing you know, it's a devotion here, and it's a devotion there, and it's a devotion here or there. And then finally, you just use the excuse, well, you're old enough now to have your own devotions. And we'll have ours, and you have yours. But what does the Bible say here in chapter 6, verse 7? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And you shall talk about them when thou sittest in thine house. Like I said, what happens in my house when I sit down, it's usually recline button and the TV. That's not fitting the description of loving the Lord my God with all my heart, is it? And it's not fitting the description of teaching them diligently to my children. And what about when you sit down? Are you talking about the things of the Lord, or are we watching TV? We have so many distractions today with the TV and then computers and our phones, laptops, and whatnot. All these things take that time of training for our children away, don't they? When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, it's easy once in a while when you go on vacation, you see some magnificent scenery that the Lord has made, to say a comment, you know, to your wife and your children, whatever, about how wonderful the Lord is and how beautiful His creation is. But what about everyday stuff? What about the little things in life? How often do we find ourselves talking about the things of the Lord? What about when we walk by the way, and when we lie us down, and when we rise up? I think of a gentleman that I worked with here in the ministry quite a few years ago, a young man, strong as an ox, worked me into the ground. And the entire time, I was on the ladder putting in ceiling tile, and he was grabbing the ceiling tile and throwing it up to me with the insulation on it, and the entire time he was just chattering. Now, you know what the Bible says in here? And he'd rattle off a verse, and he'd say, "Where is it found?" And I'd be over there, trying to remember where it was. And then he'd throw me a bone once in a while and give me one of these little verses that everybody would know, you know, Jesus wept or something. And he probably doesn't even remember this maybe to this day, but to me it was a rebuke. I was right there on the ladder, and he was probably standing just about right here. And he was just quoting Scripture the entire time. And to me, that was an example of this passage right here in verse 7, where it tells us to teach him diligently. Now, I'm not his child, but he was talking about them when we sat by the way. When we were sitting down, eating lunch, he was talking about the things of the Lord. When we were working, I mean, he literally worked me into the ground. And to this day, I can remember that, just as plain as day. And it was not only a testimony to me, but it was also a rebuke because I didn't know the Scriptures. Do you remember that day, Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith is the man that I worked with right here in this auditorium. And that was a tremendous testimony for me because it taught me that I need to know my Bible a little bit better. And I need to know the Scriptures and where it's found. Now, I could usually come up with the verse as he was saying it, but when he would say, "Where is it found?" there'd be nothing but silence. And I also think about, I'm going to break a cardinal rule, Mr. O'Pager, and I'm going to talk about the lunch bunch. We have a rule that said, whatever is said at the table at lunch, you can't repeat it. Well, I'm going to break that rule one time. I can remember when Dr. Hobbs and Mr. O'Pager and Todd and some of us guys would sit around the table down on Wednesdays. We'd go out to lunch, and Dr. Hobbs would always be talking either about Sunday's message, or Todd would bring up, you know, something he'd been studying for Wednesday night message and all that. And, you know, us young guys around there would kind of be doing more listening than talking, and Dr. Hobbs and Mr. O'Pager and Todd would be, Pastor Todd would be, basically preaching to each other and at each other, you know, about the things of the Lord. And now Pastor Hobbs is kind of gone, and a lot of us young folks are getting a little bit older, and we've gotten a few more people that come along with us. And much to Mr. O'Pager's chagrin, a lot of times the conversation gets steered away from the things of the Lord and gets talking about the Red Sox or what happened in the playoff games and things like that. And to me, is another perfect example right here of when you sit down, what is on your heart to speak to other people. Now let's look down here in verse 8. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hands, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." I think so many times what's in our hand today is a cell phone. We're sitting there texting to our friends and talking and doing all this other stuff, and we got that phone in front of our eyes. When was the last time, and if you have in the last week texted a Bible verse to somebody, raise your hand. And what's this verse say here then? "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand and as frontlets between thine eyes." But what do we so many times do? We get caught up in the things of this world, and it doesn't show our love for Christ, does it? Because a love in our heart for the Lord is going to come out in the way we talk, in the way we discuss things, and the things that we discuss. The conversation is going to either be directed to the Lord and about the things of the Lord, or it's going to be about the mundane things that we all find it a little bit easier maybe to talk about. And to me, this all comes back to our theme verse here, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." If I love the Lord with all my heart, if I love the Lord with all my soul and all my might, what would my conversation be? What would my actions at home be? Instead of pulling on the recline lever and getting the remote out, maybe there should be a little more time spent talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord. If I really did love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. I know I don't fit the description of teaching them diligently to my children. Let's look down here to the next verse here. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. How many of us have scripture written around our house? How about on your refrigerator or the calendar from Aunt Carolyn? How about out on the street where everybody can see it? You know, I think of the comment that my sister made. She looked across the street at Brother Higgs, and he's got one of those little plastic PVC signs with scripture on it. And she said, you'd never see that up in New England. And she's right. Excuse me, you'd never see that up in New England. But it says here, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. What's going to come out if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might? Those are the things that are going to show in the fruits. Now, I'm not talking about doing these things because we want to earn our salvation. I'm talking about when we have a love for Christ and we have a love for His Word, that's what's going to show instead of the things of this world. Let's look on down here. And it shall be when the Lord, in verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into a land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, in verse 11, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. And look at verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from a house of bondage. When we look at this passage of Scripture right here, it fits the description, I think, of America and how over the years we've had it so well and so prosperous that we've forgotten about the Scriptures. We've forgotten to teach them diligently. I think if generations before had taught them diligently to their children, and then the next generation taught them diligent to their children, we'd be in a different state in this America, wouldn't we? And I know I'm just as guilty as everybody else because, like I said, I do not fit the description of teaching them diligently to my children. Let's look down here then. And beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of a land of Egypt, which with a house of bondage. And thou shalt fear the Lord thy God to serve Him, and shall swear by His name. And ye shall not go after other gods than the gods of the people which are round about you. Boy, we see that in this day and age. Verse 15, and the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I think that's a perfect description of what has gone on in America over the last decades. Is a little bit less diligent teaching to our children, a little less passing it down, a little less scripture written, a little more distraction of the TV, a little more distraction of our phones and computers and stuff like that. And the love of the Lord is not coming out from us Christians as it should because it's not in here where it belongs. The title of my message today, I failed to mention, was Aim Low with a question mark. And I kind of joke around with Pastor Watt and sometimes my kids on if you aim low, you'll never be disappointed. So if you want to paint your house and you're expecting to look real good, just plan on it looking like terrible. And then no matter what happens, you'll never be disappointed. I tell my son, if you want a girlfriend, just find one that nobody wants and go for that one and you'll have better success and you'll never be disappointed. So as that is a joke and all joking aside, today let's not aim low when it comes to our reading of the Word and our praying and studying and talking to the Lord. Let's aim a little bit higher in our walk with the Lord. Let's sit by the way and let's use our scripture instead of the TV. Let's talk about the things that the Lord has done in our life. And one other example that I want to use was a professor that I had at Bob Jones University. And his name was Pete Stevenson, and he was just about as blind as a bat. He had huge, big old thick Coke bottle glasses. And this man was told that eventually he was going to go blind. And he literally, any time you saw him on campus, had 3x5 cards, and he'd be like this, walking along. They were always about 3 inches away from his nose. And he'd walk along, and you expect to see him do one of those you know, texting things where the guy's walking along and they're filming him and he falls into the water fountain or something like that. He would, I think he had campus memorized because he'd stop at the crosswalk, look both ways, and he'd go back to reading his things. This man memorized entire books of the Bible, including Psalm 119 and a lot of other different passages that are just huge, because he was told he was going to go blind and he wanted to know as much of the scriptures so that when that day did come, he had it up here. And I think that's a good example for all of us, that we need to have the scriptures in our mind and in our heart, and we should remember the scriptures and talk about them when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, and we should have them written in our house, and we shouldn't be afraid to speak to our neighbors and loved ones about the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace. I know that my ability is weak, but you are strong. Father, I just pray that you would take this passage of Scripture and that you would prompt us all to have a better love for you, more devotion for you, and spend more time on the things of your Word and things that you call are great. And I just pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
God's people said, amen. Appreciate that good message from God's Word. And what a challenge it is, because we certainly fall very short to the standard that God has given to us in His Word of loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And so let us be encouraged tonight from God's Word. Others may not, but we must. We love Him. And so we want to be faithful to Him.